Our reading is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. There's some arguments among scholars as to who wrote the book of James. From the introduction in verse 1 of chapter 1, we simply know that the author calls himself a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very unlikely to be the disciple James, as there's a fair amount of evidence to suggest that that James was martyred before the book of James was written. There is, however, a strong possibility that it was written by Jesus's brother James, who became a believer after Jesus's death, which you can read about in the book of Galatians. It's also possible, though, that another follower of Jesus adopted the name to write under, in which case we have no idea who the author is. Whoever wrote it, though, there's little argument about the underlying theme. The book explains how to receive the wisdom from God that we need, which then results in a fruitful life we lead, whatever hardships we're faced with. There's a really strong emphasis throughout on the teachings of Jesus, and especially on the Sermon on the Mount and how this applies to everyday life. So it's a book that is well worth getting to know. And that's hopefully what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks as we follow the Anglican lectionary. The section we're looking at this morning from James 1 opens with a reminder of how good God is to us. He is the generous giver of blessings, and all that he gives us is absolutely perfect. It moves on to give an overview of the character of God, reminding us that God is our Father, and that in God there is no darkness, only light. He is the God of light, Father of lights, as it's worded, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So that means that our God, our Father, is consistent. He is not swayed from his loving, generous, gracious self, not by anything, not by mood, not by how his children treat him, not how his children treat each other, not by the weather. He is solid, completely dependable and reliable at all times and in all circumstances. God is good. God is our creator. He gave us life, and he wanted to do that. It was a gift to us. It's based on this understanding of who God our Father is, how much he loves us and how much he gives us, that James urges us to live well for God. It's knowing how special we are to God and how much he's done for us that should be our motivation for living as Jesus taught us. Jesus, of course, being God himself, God incarnate, and we often refer to him as the Son of God. The ultimate gift, of course, because God sent Jesus to die for us on the cross so that we don't have to bear the consequences of our sin. And as we follow Jesus, James points out a number of lifestyle qualities based on his teachings. Verse 19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, lay aside filthiness and wickedness. Before the writer goes on further with do's and don'ts, he adds a really important sentence. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. On initial reading, we might take that to mean standing on the truth of the Bible, which reflects something we looked at last week as we were working our way through Ephesians. The Bible, of course, is often referred to as the Word, so understandably, we could reach that conclusion. And the Bible is indeed a manual for life that should be our go-to. That said, the Bible itself, reading it and really taking it in, is not what saves us. Important, but it does not save us. What saves us is our belief in Jesus Christ. Now, throughout the Bible, Jesus is often described as the Word. We can be pretty sure that James is saying that we need to accept Jesus into our lives rather than that simple reliance on the Bible. Hence, he refers to the Word being implanted in us. We all know from Jesus' teaching and our lived experience that no matter how hard we try, we will always fall short of God's standards for our lives. So it makes sense that as James gives us some pointers to living a Christ-like life, he doesn't just command us to stop sinning and do better, try harder, like a poor school report, but instead points to the need for us to accept Jesus and his message and on a deeper level. Christ in our lives is what saves us, not what we do. You could almost accuse James of contradicting himself in the next verse, verse 22, when he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he goes on to explain what he means by that. And it does mean doing things. But that goes back to scripture itself not saving us. We can read the Bible over and over again. We can memorize verses, important to do so. But so many people read the words, remember the words. But it's understanding the truths within it that matters and then applying them to our everyday lives. Those truths are that God is amazingly good. He is our Father and we are his children. He will never let us down. He is consistent in all things. God sacrificed his son Jesus so that we could be saved and freed from the consequences of sin. And we have the promise of eternal life, a place in heaven for everyone who believes. No barriers. We cannot earn ourselves into heaven. We cannot earn our place. That has been done for us by God sending Jesus. When we invite Jesus into our lives and God is at the centre of everything we do, then we become doers of the word. We are Jesus in action. When Jesus is in us, Jesus' actions will come out of us. Think of it this way. If you fill a flask with coffee, it's coffee that comes out later, not tea, not empty air. When we have Jesus in our lives, deep within, it's Jesus' actions that emerge in our lives. When James goes on to talk about looking in the mirror and seeing the ordinary self, it's a warning about not being able to see Jesus looking back at us. When we look at ourselves, it's important to see the truth of who we are, children of God, loved by God, who should be reflecting the love of Jesus, the love of God. I, for one, really don't like spending time in front of a mirror, and I really don't like seeing photos of myself. But that comes from looking at me in a skewed human way, focused on the imperfections of what I'm seeing on the outside, all those things I don't like about myself, when I should be looking at myself as that very special child I am to God, who created me just as I am. And I should be looking at myself with all the gifts and potential he's given me and celebrating that. And if I did that, maybe I'd never want to be away from the mirror. But then I would, because there's that action that comes from the love of Christ. And when we have Christ in our lives, when Jesus is in our lives, we just have no choice. We are compelled to act out of love in all situations. And that means doing things, which is how James ends this passage, you know, alleviate poverty, work with the marginalized, don't let injustices of society carry on. So it is a faith of works, but it is the faith that saves us. And when we all look to Christ within us, we will not put limits on what we can do and what we can achieve through him and through him alone.